Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome to Freedom Play tonight. Welcome again to our message this evening. For anybody who has opened this message as a podcast, we would like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting, so there will be people dialing in from all around the country. We will give them an opportunity to get here. So we'll start our message in about 3 to 5 minutes. And anytime you who are listening on podcast, anytime you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they are held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. It spells free me on your telephone keypad. You can also go online to www.freedomswayministries.com. For more information about us, a lot of great audio and video teachings, and ways to donate to our ministry and keep us going. Hallelujah. So, good evening again. If you would like to say hello, now is a very good time to do that. And if you don't want to say hello, that's okay too.
It's still a good time.
You're still going to be blessed to be here, whether we know you're here or not. Hallelujah is right.
Talking about pretty important stuff tonight. But of course, I think that's every time we.
Yeah, it is every time, but tonight is kind of a little bit different.
Areas of things people deal with. The Lord makes it easy to do.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, many of you may think this is a radical word, and it probably is for most of mainstream Christianity. Hallelujah. So anybody want to say hello tonight?
Hello, this is Helen. I barely made it.
Hi, thank you for being here.
Yeah. In fact, I was trying
Hello,
to figure out, I wonder if, I thought I was late, and I thought, am I muted? I don't know what to do. I'm sitting here. If you're calling late, are you already muted, or should you mute your phone?
Depending on how late you are either muted or you're not.
Okay.
So, you know.
I guess I won't try not to be late.
Yeah, people who call in about, by, I would say 8:33 or 34, 35, they're probably already muted. So,
okay. I'm going to have to sweat that out then.
I heard you out there, brother. Welcome.
Hi, Miss Vicki. Thank you, thank you. I'm making all that racket. I had to go back out. I'm up here in Georgia trying to build my air pressure up, my dinging, dinging, dinging. All right. Thanks for having me.
Have a blessed
All right, brother.
Evening.
Thank you all for being there for us. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anybody else? I believe if you call in late, they tell you your phone is muted.
Yeah, it tells you you're already muted. Yeah, I'm muted.
Okay.
Well.
So I won't worry then.
Yeah. And it also tells you how to unmute your phone.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
I'll tell people that, too. But not before it's time. Oh, praise God. I'm excited about what we're going to bring tonight. And there's just a tremendous amount of material in it. I hope that everybody that's out there has both sets of ears on, natural and spiritual. And if you are a note taker, this will be, have lots of paper and make sure your pencils are working. Amen. So I am going to go ahead. Anybody else want to say hello before I mute your telephones? No? Okay. I'm going to go ahead then and mute your telephones, and we will get started tonight.
Hallelujah. And welcome this evening. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki, and our mission is to help you come into your fullness, your true identity in Jesus Christ. The Bible talks a lot about being in Christ, and you know, I noticed that when you're in Christ, you can do all things. So hallelujah. We just, anything we can do to help you get closer to God, be more like Jesus, that's our mission, and we're available to you. So we're going to get started here in a minute. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray us in, and we're going to get started on a very powerful message tonight. Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you. We're just a thankful people, Lord, that you are so good to us, that you speak to us through your word, that your word is clear, and that our ears are on, and your anointing is on your word to touch our hearts and help us grow up to be more like you. We just thank you so much for that, God. And thank you, and I thank you that you're putting your anointing on this word special for all the hearers, that you have their best interest in heart, and that you love them, and we love you, and we honor you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I turn aside any assignment from hell that tried to blunt, distract, or cause any confusion about the message that God's people will hear tonight. So you are bound, and we just loose the Holy Spirit and say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And if there is anything said tonight, Lord, that is not your word, or your will, or your way, I ask that you remove it from the minds and hearts of your people, because we seek truth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are those who love the truth. And tonight's message is our fourth part in the areas where spiritual deception have crept into Christianity. Tonight's subject is the subject of death. Now, we started out a few weeks ago exposing spiritual deception in the way that we think about God, the way we view the things of God, and specifically in four areas: sin, sickness, poverty, and death. These are the four major aspects of our lives which seem to easily trip us up in our walk with the Lord. And they are four things which Jesus completely and forever destroyed. Most of us, in reality, have a tendency to view God the same way we view man. And by that, I mean we usually think of God in his power in terms of what man in his own power can do. If there's a situation in which we determine that a man, or even a superman, could accomplish a certain thing, then we don't have a problem believing God can come through for us. That is a possibility. However, if it seems impossible for man, then we have trouble believing God can do it, whatever it may be. Oh, we know God can do anything, and nothing is impossible with God. But most of us know that in our minds, and it isn't truly settled in our hearts. And so when God's word gives us a revelation that doesn't match our reality, we tend to create a reason for the reality so we can explain it. And that reason will often be opposed to God's word on the matter. So, basically, we all need to know who God is, what he does, how he does it, and we should have the truth about it, not what we make up in our own human reasoning and wisdom. Job tells us, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. In other words, there are some things about God that are unexplainable and which we likely will not understand. But we know from Scripture that God will not afflict us. Sin doesn't come from God. We learn that sin is both the action taken and the evil spirit which manifested the action through the person. It's not simply a bad thing that a bad person does. We learn that sickness does not come from God. He doesn't punish us with illness, infirmity, injury, infection, none of that. And we learned that God's heart is for each of us to enjoy prosperity in our lives, not to live in poverty, that it doesn't make us more spiritual or more like Jesus to be poor.
That is true. Through this study of how hell has lied to us, even through well-intentioned men and women of God, we've kicked over a lot of sacred cows and rid ourselves of a lot of religious ideas, which has served as limiters to our ability to advance the kingdom of God and overcome defeat in our own lives. Wow. If you just joined us, you can get playback numbers, et cetera, and access code for the parts you've missed about sin, sickness, and poverty simply by texting Freedom's Way and requesting them. The number to text is 904-993-2876. That way, you can have a clear idea of how to destroy those things from your life the way Jesus instructed us to. The final area we want to look into to see how deception has entered the church is the subject of death. This one's a little tricky because none of us knows a single person who has lived on this earth in a human body for longer than 100 years or so. We know about some people who did, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, and those people who lived way back then. And we know about a few people who didn't die a physical death. You might remember about Enoch. He walked with God, Elijah, Moses, and who knows who else. But that was all a long time ago. All we have to go on now is what we see. People die physical death. The world and the church both teach us that we have to physically die. Death is inevitable. What did we hear all our lives? The only things sure in this life are death and taxes. And that may be true in a sense, but is it the truth? We're going to look at the scriptures that have been most used to tell us we're going to die a physical death, explore their meanings, and do our best to reveal God's heart on the matter of death. First, let's look at the scriptures most often used to teach us we must die a physical death. The first one is Psalms, and is the verse upon which so many measure their lives. Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by means of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
Fly away, oh Lord. Actually, you need to rewrite that song. I'm going to stay, oh glory. Okay. I want to, before I get into how true this verse is, I want to put out my little disclaimer. What you are about to hear in this study is a study. There's been a lot of hours of research, word studies, searching through the scriptures, lots and lots, to get God's heart on the matter. And we have done the very best that we know how to do exactly that. You may not agree with what we say, and that's okay. You may think we are so radical, it's so far out there you can't even wrap your brain around it, and that's okay too. Just put it on the shelf and let the Lord work it in your heart. Be Berean. Study it out for yourself. So this verse that Phil just read, days of our years, 70 years and 10, how true is this verse? 70 years and 10 is 70 years. 80 years is 80 years. And even today, we know people who have lived past 80 years. We have people on the line that are past 80 years old. We know people who are alive and vibrant well into their 90s, their 80s. I had a friend, A.J. Pinesa, who celebrated his 96th birthday before falling off a scaffold while he was on a construction job. This man worked every day of his life in construction. He owned the company. He wasn't going to stay home.
Wow.
He traveled all over the world going hunting. He went on safaris. He went on elk shoots and dove shoots. And, I mean, every season, every hunting season, he was somewhere with a gun in his hand. But he was climbing up and down scaffolds. He was pouring concrete, all sorts of things in his 90s. And this particular year, when he celebrated his 96th birthday, well, let me just also say this. Every Saturday night, he and his wife would go dancing. Most amazing thing. I mean, if it had not been for that misstep and that fall onto the concrete that caused his decline and death, who knows? He might still be living. If it were true that 80 is the top end of our physical existence, AJ would have been dead long ago. There are lots of people in their 90s still functioning well. So what's up? This psalm was written by Moses, who was making a supplication and bringing a complaint before the Lord because the people in the wilderness were dying before their time. Because God told Moses the complainers would not enter the promised land, there was a quickening of death within the camp. An entire generation had to die off before the nation could take possession of their possessions. This verse does not apply to us today, nor did it apply to any generation from Moses forward. It was specific to the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Now, unfortunately, because people believe any number of years they live beyond 70 or 80 is miraculous, they start getting ready to depart the earth when the years begin to creep upward. Hell itself, hell has put an expectation of death in us and a time frame for living on the earth has been planted in our thought life. Let me remind you, your body will respond to your thoughts. And guess what? We can have what we say whether that confession is good or whether it is evil. Our words are creative.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to the great faith scriptures and see what Jesus had to say. Mark 11:22-23. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be ye removed and be ye cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says.
Yeah.
Have faith in God. That literally translates have God's faith. What does it mean to have God's faith? If you listen to the faith series, you have a pretty good idea. But basically, it means to believe what he believes and to live in that belief. When we believe what God believes, then according to Jesus, we can say to the thing that rises up before us, even if that thing is death, be ye removed and cast into the sea. And God's faith will move it out of our way.
Hallelujah.
Now you're thinking, yeah, but that doesn't mean death. Everybody has to die. Well, the word says so. Does it? And in what context? We've already shown that in one of those places, the word was specific to a certain people at a certain time for a certain purpose. God was shortening the days of the lives of the rebellious so that the next generation could move ahead in his plan. That was merciful to the generations. And remember, every person who died before Christ had the opportunity to go with him into heaven, the realm of happiness, power, and eternity, when Jesus went into paradise and revealed himself.
Amen. He still does that today. He still reveals himself. He still says, I'm rising up. You want to come with me. Praise the Lord. Another place that people use in the scriptures to say that we have to die is in Hebrews. They pluck out this one verse, Hebrews 9:27, which says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. On its surface, this looks pretty clear. Men are appointed once to die and then be judged. However, let's dig a little deeper. You want the context, the whole passage. In its context, the writer is explaining the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. He is saying the blood of bulls and goats offered annually by the high priest was sufficient as an atonement for earthly things. People without the Holy Spirit within them fall into this category. But that heavenly things, people who have the Holy Spirit within them, heavenly things are purified by the blood of our high priest, Jesus Christ, once for all, and for all time. So we are going to, and if you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, it might be helpful to follow along with this. Pardon me. We're going to look at the passage in its context and see what the Holy Spirit will reveal. There is a lot of meat here, so put your teeth in. You're going to be chewing. So we're going to start back at verse 16. Phil's going to read the verses. I am going to comment on them.
Hebrews 9:16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
Amen. So, in order to give us an inheritance, Jesus had to die. his last will and testament is in force because of his resurrection. Every promise we can see in Scripture now belongs to us. It is up to us to now possess our possessions.
Verse 17, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives.
Jesus Christ is the only man who ever lived to probate his own will. Because of his resurrection, the inheritance he died to give us can never be revoked by hell. He defeated death, hell, and the grave by his resurrection, and that gives us the very same right. Thank you, Lord.
Verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood.
And of course, this refers to animal sacrifices, which were a type and shadow of what was to come.
Verses 19 to 21, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament, which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry.
Everything was covered by the blood, which is another type and shadow of what was coming.
Verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission.
Nothing we can do will save us. Good works, the works of our hands, the things we can accomplish in our own human reasoning, our own human strength, they won't do it. Before the cross, an animal sacrifice annually was made as an atonement for the sins of the people. Today, the remission of sin and every other aspect of our salvation is only made possible because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life once for all of us.
Hallelujah. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these.
Let's think about this now. The patterns of things in the heavens, the temple and its instruments and rituals, those were the patterns of the things in the heavens. The temple, its instruments and rituals were made holy by animal sacrifices. But the true heavenly things required a better sacrifice.
And verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Thank you, Lord. So here's the real meat of the passage. Christ, our high priest, right? The high priest entered into the holy places made with hands to sacrifice an animal. But the holy places made with hands, those are those tangible edifices that we call temples, churches, synagogues, fellowship halls, whatever. These are the figures of the true. But the true holy places into which Christ enters are not made with hands. This verse says Christ is entered into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. That word for actually translates over or instead of. And heaven, of course, is the realm of happiness, power, and eternity. We've said that before. So this realm is where we are meant to be. And it's meant to be where we are because of Jesus Christ. We've been taught that heaven is simply a place we go after we die to be in the presence of God. Well, that's true, but it isn't the whole truth. You should be in the presence of God right now. Heaven is a spiritual place that we can have now in this life. When Christ enters the temples, not made with hands, those temples are you and me, he expects to be in the place of happiness, power, and eternity. Think about it. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated with him in that heavenly place. When we go before the Father, Almighty God, we go covered over by Jesus. Chew on that for a minute. And we'll keep reading.
Verses 25 and 26. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
I want to read the last part of that verse again. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus doesn't come and go in his temples. He's either in or he's out. Our spirit does not have a revolving door where Jesus gets caught going round and round and in and out. Our acceptance of his single sacrifice on our behalf, his life for mine, gave Jesus permanent residence in my heart. Amen.
Amen.
And then we get to our verse.
27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
So let's just look at this one. The word appointed means reserved, away from something near, stretched out in a prone or horizontal position. We are positioned to die. You know, in John chapter 20, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Where did the Father send Jesus? To the cross. To die. We are positioned to die, but what kind of death are we reserved for? Is it a physical death? Or is it a spiritual death? Or is it both? Now consider this. The appointed time in which we give up our lives to live his life on this earth and in our physical body, that time is reserved for each of us, each one of us. We will either agree to die to ourselves and live from Christ, or we will experience death in our bodies. It's a radical idea, but it is a very real possibility when we prostrate ourselves before the Lord and die to our wants and our ways, judgment begins. God comes to purge us of evil. He judges evil spirits. He removes them from us with our agreement. His judgment on evil in our lives brings justice to us in every single area. It may be painful when God cuts something out of our lives, but what he cuts out is something that wasn't good for us. And so that judgment is merciful. Just consider, perhaps this is the death that is spoken of. It is appointed once to men to die. When we surrender our lives and depart from the things of the world, we know that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but we're not going to be there for punishment. We'll be there for reward. The word tells us so. We are to judge ourselves now in this life according to the word and the truth of God. So our born-again experience starts a conversion. It is a death to self and a time to begin to allow God to judge us and to cleanse us. It is appointed once for men to die, but after this, the judgment. You can't get born again one time. And the final verse wraps it up and explains it.
Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Thank you, Lord. Christ died once. He offered himself, and in doing so, he bore the sins of many. You and me, if you are born again. The wages of sin is death. Christ bore the sins of many. If Jesus bore our sins, we don't get the wages of sin anymore. That is, unless we want them. Death writes a paycheck I don't want. I am not working for death anymore. I'm working for life. And I'm looking for Christ. When he appears in me, it is without sin. And I can then move truly and completely in the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit which dwells within me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Our hope of glory is the resurrection of Christ in us. Colossians 1:25-27, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As ministers of Christ, and that is you as well as us, as ministers of Christ, we are to fulfill the word of God and reveal the mystery of the ages, which is Christ in us. Not Christ someday coming back to earth in bodily form. He will, but there's no mystery in that. He's coming. Before that can happen, Christ must be revealed from within his believers. The body of Christ needs to function as life and truth, not death and deception, which is where most of us seem to hang out. When will Christ return? When his enemies are made his footstool. He's constrained in heaven until that time, when his enemies are made his footstool. It is our responsibility to allow God to work through us to accomplish this in its entirety. And the last enemy is called death. We must clearly see death as an enemy and not as a friend. 1 Corinthians 15, 22-26. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. That word is parousia. It means the revealing of Christ, the manifestation of Christ. That is when he is revealed in his saints. Read your word, Lord. Read your word. Read your word, folks. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ is reigning now, or should be, from his position of authority in his temple, which is his body of believers. Jesus Christ is reigning now, or he should be, from his position of authority in his temple, which is his body of believers, you and me. If you've got Jesus in you, let him out. We are the body. The body has the feet. So if death is to be put under the feet of Jesus, we're the ones who have to trample it.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus came to earth and demonstrated a kingdom greater than any ever known before or since. He then allowed death to take over his physical body so that he and his spiritual body could indwell each and every one of us. It's powerful. Jesus died to give us not only access to the kingdom he brought back to earth, but also possession of that kingdom. He was resurrected and rose again to prove the power of God over death, hell, and the grave, and to make certain the inheritance he died to give us was properly distributed. Look at his coronation celebration in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 through 18, and then verse 27. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that we shall not be destroyed, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And I guess that means forever. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Wow.
Jesus Christ ascended into the spirit realm, received his kingdom from the Father, turned around and returned to the natural realm, walked the earth in his resurrected body, teaching his disciples what to do to put the kingdom in order. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. When Jesus returns in bodily form once again, it will not be to establish his kingdom. He's already done that. And he expects us to continue what he started. He will return in bodily form to receive his kingdom which has been put in order by him, but through us. And then he will present the kingdom as a gift to the Father. Look, Dad, it's been restored, just as you meant for it to be from the beginning. Listen to this. There is a generation that will pass over the grave. Physical death may not be a certainty. And I do not believe it is a certainty for a true believer.
One of the main reasons we haven't achieved the depth of this revelation can be found in God's explanation through the prophet Isaiah. He says we priests think everything is just fine because we are God's chosen people and priesthood. However, we're still subject to the world and death because of our own beliefs in the world and death. Isaiah 28, verses 14 through 18. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it.
That's right, because you believed it, because you were in covenant with it. It will take you. God says, we've made a covenant with death. What? Oh, you don't think so? Well, I do. We buy life insurance policies, we buy grave plots, because we are so aligned with death as to accept its inevitability. We plan our funerals. Wonder who's going to show up. What songs will be sung? Who do we want as our pallbearers? That's a covenant, folks. As the years go by, our bodies wear down from sin or ill use, which is also sin, by the way. And we say things like, I'm just getting old. I'm not as young as I used to be. Well, I'm ready to die. And even later on, as friends die off or we live with chronic pain or heartache, we begin to even ask the Lord, take me home. I don't want to live like this. The word says we shouldn't be in haste. But we get that way, or we know someone who has. Agreeing with death is easy. It's easy. Agreeing with life, that's not so easy.
Amen. That is true. The other part of our covenant with death is considering death a friend rather than an enemy. We think of it as a relief and a blessing rather than a curse. We've been taught to welcome death rather than to reject it. We've been taught that the only resurrection in one of the physical body, we've been taught that the only resurrection is one of the physical body, not the spirit man. And that this physical resurrection can only happen at the physical return of Christ. Then and only then can we have a glorified body. Scripture doesn't tell us, but it does tell us that Enoch and Elijah did not die a physical death. And to me, that means they must still have a physical body wherever they are. Or perhaps God returned their bodies instantly to dust and extracted their spirits to be with him.
Oh, no.
Either way, if they are examples to us, and they are, then we have hope of stepping over the grave, just as these men did. Enoch's confession was, "I please God." How many of us do that? I believe that one way to please God is to agree with him that death is an enemy which has no power over us, and to break our agreement with it. So let's do that now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do that now. Let's break our agreement. Let's get out of covenant. Hallelujah. Oh, if this has impacted you and you want to live and not die, to declare the works of the Lord, not for your own selfish reasons, understand you have to die to yourself in order to please God, in order to actually free yourself, come out from the unclean thing, and overcome sin, sickness, poverty, and death. So if that's you, and you're positioned to accept that responsibility in the kingdom, then pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Father God, this is a lot to take in.
Father God, this is a lot to take in.
But I'm beginning to understand.
I'm beginning to understand.
How the enemy that is death. Has disguised himself. And taken power over me.
Power over me.
Through my unbalanced belief. And warped view of death.
Warped view of death.
Forgive me, Lord, for my words of agreement with death.
Forgive me, Lord, my words of agreement.
And for listening to its lies. From the lips of others. Pull down all words I've spoken.
Down all words I've spoken.
Over myself or others.
Over myself or others.
That would hold death in place in my physical body.
That would hold death in place in my physical body.
Or in my mind.
Or in my mind.
Thinking or saying things like this.
Thinking or saying things like this.
I'm not as young as I used to be.
Not as young as I used to be.
I'm no spring chicken anymore.
Not a spring chicken anymore.
I feel this way or I can't do this or that because of my age.
I feel this way or I can't do this or that because of my age.
I'm old.
I'm old.
Oh, forgive me, Lord, for those words.
Forgive me, Lord, for those words.
I break their power over me.
I break their power.
Forgive me for accepting the limitations.
Forgive me for accepting the limitations.
That hell has put in my thinking.
That hell has put in my thinking.
Because of the years that have gone by.
Because of the years that have gone by.
Help me see myself as you see me, Lord.
Help me see myself.
And to truly be in this world as Jesus is.
Truly be in this world, Jesus.
Resurrected in new life.
Resurrected in new life.
Health and vitality.
Health and vitality.
Healed, whole, and healthy.
Healed, whole.
I break all agreement with the spirit of death.
I break all agreement. spirit of death.
And the spirit of dying.
Spirit of dying.
I break agreement with the spirit of the world.
I break agreement with the spirit of the world.
And all religious ideas.
All religious ideas.
That I cannot fully overcome. Sin, sickness, poverty, and death. In this life. Before the physical return of Jesus. Give me the courage to know in my heart.
Give me courage to know.
Not just in my mind. That Jesus is already come in me. And help me act in holy boldness.
Help me act holy boldness.
On that knowledge. So that I can truly live and breathe and have my being. In him and not in myself. Restoring this earth. Fulfilling God's plan.
Fulfilling God's plan.
And putting all things under his feet.
All things under his feet.
I break my covenant with death right now.
I break my covenant with death right now.
And I reverse its curse.
I reverse its curse.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to speak to that spirit of death right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity and evil soul ties that have held these things in place in your life, that have held death in place. In your life, I cut through those cords and all those conversations that you heard as a child and all those snippets of things that you heard from your parents, your grandparents, people in the world, all through the years about death and dying and aging and all of that. I break the curse of aging gracefully. Oh, my goodness. No, we don't admit to aging, period. Hallelujah. Gracefully or otherwise. I forgive them on your behalf. And I sever those cords of iniquity. I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And I pull down words that you have spoken over yourself, over your body, that would hold that death curse in your life. I pull those words down and I crush them under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I declare they will die and bear no fruit in your life. I cast out the spirit of death, the spirit of dying. Spirit of the world and all religious spirits. Loose them. They broke agreement with you. Get out. Come up and out. Get up, get out, and go in Jesus' name. I break that covenant with death, every unholy alliance with aging and the aging process, every dependence on doctors, medicines, hospitals, needles, in the name of Jesus, go. I cast you out and I send you to the pit. And Father, I ask you to fill your people now with amazing purity and power. With absolute truth and life. Fill us with life, resurrected life, health, vitality, wholeness, soundness. Fill us, Lord God. with your purity and your power. In the name of Jesus, settle this word in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, even at the cellular level. Amen. Take a breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I took the dings out, so I have no idea how many people got offended and hung up. Oh, I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have a comment or a question, we're not going to get into any deep philosophical, theological discussions, but I'll do my best to satisfy your question. Hallelujah.
Hi, Vicki. This is Helen. I'm
yes,
not going to wait. I'm so excited. For a number of years now, I have said, and I've shared with friends, I said, I don't understand it, but I know I'm not supposed to die. And, you know, life went on, and, you know, and they would always come back and say, well, what's going to happen when the earth gets so full of people? And I said, well, he'll just have to fill the Grand Canyon. I didn't know. I had no understanding. But I have known in my spirit that I'm not supposed to die. And I'm 90, so I'm looking forward to it. But what you said tonight opens the door of understanding. I didn't grasp it all, so I will be asking for the access number. But it just, I'm just so excited. When truth is coming, you know, the truth kind of pierces you here and there. But I will be asking for the access code. I don't have the full understanding, but I did get, because I was writing so fast, but I did get a lot of it. So thank you. Thank you very much. It was a worthwhile evening. Thank you.
You are very welcome. God bless you. And I agree with you. You're not supposed to die. You know, God doesn't need us in the other realm. He needs us right here. So praise the Lord. We restore this earth. We put the enemies of God under his feet. We are his body. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Helen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got something to say?
Yes. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for our long lives, Lord Jesus. And thank y'all for helping us understand. Today I was at the nursing home with my arms around 100-year-old, and she is still full of life. I've had my arms around my mother-in-law. She is such a pleasant lady to be around. And I was sitting there reading a book with her and helping her with a puzzle. We had a grand morning this morning with her. 100 years old. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. She's full of life still. A lot of knowledge right there. She's a pleasure to be around.
Yep.
Thank you, brother and sister.
Absolutely.
Praise God. I want to say for these vibrant elderly people that are just like in their 70s, 80s, like Helen sounds phenomenal. I mean, she sounds so young, and I'm sure she looks young, and she's full of life, just unbelievable. I didn't realize. And I have family members that are similar. I mean, they're in their 80s and now, and you wouldn't know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have an uncle, he just recovered from COVID, and he looks like he's in his 60s, and he's, you know, 80. So,
amen.
But God bless everybody, you know, that I want to say this was a phenomenal message, and I definitely like to get the recording. But I did have a couple questions. When you say when we go to heaven, so it's really, it's an appearing like parousia. So when we die,
yes,
going to heaven is really, it's just an appearing. So it's like the soul and the flesh is what keeps us from really seeing heaven, right? It's like when we're in the spirit,
yeah.
So like someone's walking in the spirit, or would you say they're in heaven? I mean, but they're...
Well, the word tells us the kingdom of heaven is within you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's as near as your hand. It's, and heaven translates the realm of happiness, power, and eternity. That is the place of heaven. So mm-hmm. if you are in happiness, walking in power, and living in eternity, whether you are on the earth or in
right.
the other dimension, you're in heaven.
Hmm. You're in heaven. And then the judgment,
yep.
so like you hear the verse, judgment happens in the house of the Lord. So for Christians,
that's
you're
right.
saying the judgment is once and for all. So like once I become a reborn Christian, all that
once
judgment
you,
is done. Yeah, and then when I was going to go ahead. My
right.
question was,
we judge ourselves. We, when we die to ourselves, the things that we're carrying around that we may or may not even realize we're carrying them around, God begins to eliminate that from our lives. He brings the judgment now, not then, because the judgment for sin, all sin, was put on Jesus Christ. It's already
right.
been done. That judgment,
okay.
that punishment has
the
already
punishment.
Been given. So
okay.
what we are judging now are the evil
yeah.
spirits that we're deceived by.
Okay. So judgment happens
when I face God,
for some Christians, they say, you know, judgment starts next, so you will be judged. So you're saying, and I understand, I believe, and I completely have changed,
okay.
like, when
yeah.
I die,
yeah.
I'm not judged. I'm only rewarded,
yeah.
right? So I'm not no longer judged.
You're rewarded. But that is a form of judgment. You know, when
yeah.
you stand before the judgment seat of Christ,
mm-hmm.
there, the things that you have done, not you, not the person
I
you
could have done.
Not
the
spirit
of
you,
remorse.
But your actions and your attitudes are the things that are going to be looked at. Now, if this is after your born-again experience, now,
mm-hmm.
if what you did was motivated by love for God and his people, it becomes a mm-hmm. precious jewel, a stone in your crown. Gold,
right.
silver, precious jewels. If it was done out of some other motivation, let me look good to you, or, you know, I feel obligated, or, you know, whatever. I'm afraid not to. Whatever motivation, even if it's a good work, it's a dead work.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes wood, hay, and stubble. And those are the things that are burned away at the judgment seat of Christ, so that all that's left is the purity.
Okay. So basically, the things I could have done, would I see that? Like, I have a view
yeah.
and see, oh, I could have done that, and I could have been up here. I could have been so much higher, Lord, but I didn't do these things. You know, is it that kind of judgment? Because I know, I understand where you're coming. I understand that.
Yeah.
That we're not judged, and we should judge ourselves. We should, as we're living on this earth, we should judge ourselves so we're not judged by the world, because the world will judge us. And if we feel judgment, it's the world and the devil that's judging us, if we feel it. So God hasn't judged us, but when I face him, you know, when that time when my body's dead and I face him, I'm just trying to, what I'm saying, if I'm saying right.
Okay,
I'm repeating. I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
so when I face him, I'm not going to be, I'm going to be rewarded for all that, like you said, those jewels. But the things I could have done, well, I see that. Well, I see, oh my gosh, I could have done that, Lord. And
I think
that's what I'm saying. Okay.
I think so. So, you know, God wants us to see that now. He doesn't want us to see it when it's too late for us to do anything about it. And that is the judgment. You know, when you die to yourself and decide to live for Christ, then judgment begins. And you start being aware of how you're thinking and what you're saying and how you treat people. And, so, you know, the judgment is...
I got it.
Yeah, I got it.
And
good. Thank you, Lisa.
For people, well, you know what? You're going to come across people, and they're going to ask you, or, you know, there's discussions, and you want to be able to answer it right. And then when people that don't know the Lord, they're judged. They're going to be judged. The people that don't come to receive Christ in their heart will be judged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they will.
But this is really
we'll
good.
Be judged
like hearing,
on.
There's so much you said. It's so good. Yeah.
They will be, all right. Those people will be judged at the white throne judgment before God the Father, and they will be judged on what they did with what they did know.
Can
they
I ask
never
you just one more design?
Yeah.
They'll be judged one more. And I know there's other people. How about people that didn't know the Lord would, and we could have had that opportunity
that's
to share the Lord. That's
is that going to be on you?
Yeah,
I
like
have
we
no
could have
idea.
Shared in that person.
I think that you'll probably, lose some reward for not sharing if you had the opportunity. Yeah,
right.
I think so.
Right.
But
Okay. Well, great,
amen.
Great message. Sorry to give up so much time.
Thank you, Lisa. Anybody else got something to say before we get blessed tonight? Anybody? Okay, Pastor Phil.
We were talking at the dinner table about, I said Shabbat Shalom. And she said, well, that means, you know, good Sabbath. And of course, it's not by the day Sabbath, but we are living in a Sabbath day. So, Shabbat Shalom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your presence, your peace. And thank you for empowering us with kingdom authority to do mighty things for you in the coming days. We were called into the kingdom for such a time as this. So we are appreciative and we are ready, Lord, and we are standing firm on all your promises. So we honor you tonight, and with your permission, I'll bless your people as Aaron, high priest of Israel, bless the people of Israel. You'll find this in Numbers, the sixth chapter. It's called the Aaronic Benediction. I'm going to do it in Hebrew and in English. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yivarachach Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai ponav elecha ifunecha. Yisa Adonai ponav elecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I always add, in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord, for you, your presence, your word. Thank you. Thank you. We soak it in, seal it in our hearts, Lord, and encamp your angels around us to protect us, guide us, and lead us. And give us a glorious week in you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen. Hallelujah. We will be here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. This message will be presented again Friday night as the Holy Spirit brings it at 8:30. So, and if you want that playback number, text me at 904-993-2876. Have a great week. Good night now.
Good night.
Woohoo! Like your brother.
Good night, everyone. Love you all so much. Air hugs.